Welcome to the Modern Magic Podcast. I'm Marin, an astrologer, author, and cosmological thought leader. Here we're inquiring about the structure of reality, philosophizing about everything metaphysical, and grounding the woo. If you resonated with or are triggered by this episode, it would mean the universe to me if you rated and reviewed this on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Now, I invite you to tune out, drop in, and immerse yourself in the magic of this present listening moment. Sat Nam. Welcome back. It's Marin here, and in today's episode, we're going to be taking a dive into why the zodiac signs mean what they do and how exactly we can think about each zodiac sign's archetype. So this is an episode that I'm excited to present because it's something that you can come back to if you ever need clarification or if you want to reiterate the ideas about the signs, because this takes you through Aries to Pisces in fully explaining how to think, what to think, and what to evoke in your mind when you do conceptualize these zodiac signs, which are all different archetypes. And so we're never defining them, we are always evoking them with our language in that way. And this episode, there is a video version of this podcast that you can watch. I will link it below. But this version itself is fully listenable and definitely, I prefer actually podcasts and just doing the straight audio, so that might be something that some of you prefer. And besides from this episode, I have officially switched TikTok accounts to my new backup account, which will hopefully become my main account soon. So my new account is marin.altman. It is my name, but there's a period in between. I will change it back to Marin Altman once it gets big enough of a following for me to like revert the username to what I have it on my main. Like, I'll just switch the usernames. But otherwise, if you do want to keep up with me on that platform, that account is actually not suppressed. It is not doing super well. Like, it's not like, you know, favored in the algorithm, but I can tell that it's not being suppressed. So if you would like to keep up with me on that platform, I would appreciate it. And you can learn and watch and entertain with me there. So marin.altman is the TikTok. Besides that, I am working diligently on my upcoming 4-week Manifestation Mysteries of the Moon course. This is a course to take you through the ins and outs of the moon phases, both natally and in transit, so that you can manifest and practice self-care on a more effective and more precise informed basis, because the moon is our most intimate astrological indicator. So if you're wanting to join that, link below for this moon course. Would love to have you join. But in the meantime, let's get into learning about the 12 zodiac signs. As a backdrop. Each zodiac sign is a lens for the planets. And if you have not seen my last video on the planets in astrology and what those represent and mean, make sure that you do watch that first so that you can layer the signs on top of that. That will be linked down below. And these zodiac signs manifest archetypally not just in personality traits, but in events, cultures, world events too, which is important to get out on the get-go. And signs are activated through the planets. So you will have X planet and Y sign. That's why it's important to watch that video first if you haven't already. Hi, I'm Marin. I am a professional astrologer, author, and current philosophy student. I combine traditional Hellenistic astrological techniques with modern psychological counseling dynamics in order to provide grounded guidance. So first off, we have to define what a zodiac is. A zodiac is a belt of the heavens about 8 degrees of either side of the ecliptic or the sun's orbit that includes the sun, the moon, and all other apparent celestial recognized bodies divided into 12 equal divisions. So it's an orbital path that we divide into 12 equal segments. And there are 3 different zodiacs. There is the tropical zodiac based on the seasons. There is the sidereal zodiac based on the fixed stars. And there is the constellational zodiac itself, which is represented by the uneven divisions of the sky. The sidereal zodiac is used mainly in India, and the tropical zodiac is used mainly in the West, but they do not belong exclusively to India and the West. Indian astrologers can use the tropical, Western astrologers can use the sidereal. They are not synonymous. It's kind of like a language. Either citizen can use either language. And I say Indian and not Vedic because calling Indian astrology Vedic astrology would be like calling Western astrology Christian astrology. I'm really like PC and technical with my word choices, so I don't generally say Vedic unless I'm talking about why I don't call it Vedic and I call it Indian instead. Either way, the two main systems used in astrology are based on idealizing the zodiac as if they were in 12 equal segments. We are taking the constellations of varying sizes and pretending that they're all 12. We're knowingly doing this. If you do want a full video on the astronomical difference between the tropical and sidereal zodiac, I would be down to explain that. It's important so that we're not just buying into tradition and following it blindly, but it is something that is very nuanced and technical, and I teach about it in my course extensively. Both accurate calculations, but they are different, and I choose to use the tropical because it makes more validity and sense to me in terms of why we're using astrology. So, moving on now to getting into sign meanings, there are four main considerations, as I like to call them, for each zodiac sign. And these four considerations are planetary ruler, what planet rules each sign, modality, aka quadruplicity, or the basically the seasonal quality of that sign, element, and polarity, either yin or yang, which relates back to the element. I explain where the four considerations come from in my course, so if you are interested in the Astrology Academy, shameless promo, literally like months and hours of lectures to get you going on your astrology journey, that'll be info below if you're interested in kickstarting that from a rooted, grounded perspective. And the image or the icon, like the animal or the person associated with each sign, so like Aries the ram, Cancer the crab, etc., is theoretically derived from the constellation. It's not like you look at Virgo and you're like, that looks like a maiden holding a fucking wheat branch or whatever. But they're theoretically derived, but they aren't synonymous with the sign themselves. They're more like helpful invocations. And the constellations themselves aren't super clear, so don't depend on the astronomy to fully validate these meanings. They're multiple considerations. And if you're using the 12-letter alphabet where signs equal planets equal houses, just unlearn that shit immediately. Like, we don't fuck with that in this house. The house does not represent the sign or the planet. If you do happen to find the same keywords with signs and houses, for example, like Cancer is a homey sign, the fourth house deals with home, it's not because those two things mean one another, it's because they happen to both come to that conclusion, but it's actually pretty rare that you will get the same exact keyword applying to both the sign and a house, because signs and houses are two completely different categorical systems. It would be like trying to equate numbers with words. Like, they're just different. You can't like equate them. And the signs themselves that we will run through, the 12 signs, I have a video, my astrology myths video explains why there's not a 13th sign before anyone asks. The 12 signs are Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, we're halfway, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. If someone is a singer, make a song, maybe auto-tune my voice, maybe by the time this video is out, I'll hit like a million on TikTok and that'll be funny shit, but for now I have like 137K, so we're getting there. And again, signs are not the active part of astrology, they're lenses. So the signs are like a backdrop or a lens for the planets are the activity in the chart. So now, starting with Aries. Aries is a yang sign, meaning it is active because it is a fire sign. Fire and air signs are active, also known as masculine or yang. They are the energy fire and air signs. They initiate energy. They bring things to the surface. They are the elements that rise, fire especially. And so Aries is a yang sign because it is a fire sign, and it is cardinal. It is the initiation of spring. It is the most most abrupt, most catalyzing, most direct sign, because it's literally cardinal fire marking the beginning of the season. It is ruled by the planet Mars, which further adds to the aggressive quality or the initiatory quality that Aries brings forth. To get fire, you have to have friction. And so Aries is an inherently friction-based sign, and it's fire, but intemperate fire. It is combustible. It is not sustainable. It is the HIIT workout, not the long distance run. It is very much the 100-meter sprint. And Aries rules the head, which, like, hot-headed is a good word for Aries, and Aries people tend to do things all at once or be impulsive and then need a lot of rest. Like, they sleep a lot and they're really active when they're awake, and there's a spontaneous urgency, like I mentioned, to Aries, which tends to act really well for heroic events. Like, they will be the hero without asking about what they expect back from it. They will be courageous in the moment. And they can also be chaotic in the sense of, like, berserk impulsivity. So they're both, like I say, an impulsive dumbass and a forthright hero. They are both. And the pure courage is definitely one of the most beautiful parts of Aries. Moving on then to Taurus. Taurus is a yin sign. It is a passive receptive sign because it is an earth sign. It is receiving, it is grounded, it is stable, and it is fixed earth. It is holding down the season of spring. It is representing the fertility and the gravitas of beginning to grow anew. It's also ruled by the planet Venus, the planet of the endurance of valuable things in this fixed sign, so that it is cultivation of taste and receiving everything that the senses can provide to us. That's why tactile sensory qualities are a big deal to Taurus. And it rules the neck. It is where we take in pleasure. It's where we emit pleasure through. We take in food and we emit beautiful voices and sounds. And it is, like I said, this fertile, grounded, promising energy because gravity brings things toward it. Taurus is a very attractive sign. It is a very consistent sign. Like, don't hold your breath for them to change, but also depend on them to be there for you in the long term. That's the beautiful part of Taurus, is it will stay the same, because if it's not broke, Taurus is going to be the first one to refuse to fix it. It is going to hold firm, so that you shouldn't try to hurry up or rush them or change them, because they definitely are staying fertile and staying grounded in their own right. This can mean that they can be kind of boring and, like, not changing, but generally it's due to that consistency and that dependability. And even with Taurus events, they tend to be very long-lasting and very grounded, very calming, and very sustainable. Now for Gemini. Gemini is a yang sign because it is an air sign, and it is mutable air, meaning that the mutable signs transition and adjust out of seasons, so that it's the air bubbling up. It is the transition from spring into summer. The heat is rising. Things are getting a bit more hot and, like, steamy, and, you know, summer is bubbling up. So that is Gemini bubble energy. It is going from solid fixed earth to mutable air, from the rock to the butterfly. It is, like, very unstable energy. It's mutable air. It is the particles of air vibrating quickly. And it's ruled by Mercury. Mercury in the sky gets into nooks and crannies in its orbit that no other planet gets into. It is chaotic, volatile territory of yang, active Mercury. Mercury itself stations direct and retrograde much more often than any other planet. It is constantly changing directions, and that goes to this yang Mercury changing communicatory quality of Gemini, which it rules the shoulders out to the fingers, because it's like the digits of the body, you know, where things reach out, and the first split in the body, it is where changes happen. And this is a chaotic part of the body. And I talk a lot about brainstorming energy with Gemini, because it really is splitting in two and looking at all the different information so it can debate within itself. It is adaptable and flexible to no end, which can both be incredibly stimulating and incredibly non-committal and flaky. It's the same energy, non-prescriptive, no value judgment for either. And there is both that adaptability and inconsistency, because with a lot of data, that can be self-contradictory and that can throw a lot of loops and turns. And there's a curiosity and a precociousness to Gemini that keeps them bubbling and in the air, and also ungrounded at the same time. So wherever, like, Gemini is in your chart or anything, it's definitely where you want to be kept guessing and where you're looking at accumulating data, because there's a curiosity, a youthfulness, a playfulness, and an ability to entertain ideas with this mutable air sign. Now for Cancer, it is the transition from summer, or it's the initiation of the summer season. It is the giver of warmth into the year, which is very much the cardinal water archetype. It is the initiation of emotional energy of water. That is why Cancer holds emotional precedence very close to its heart. And since it's water, it's a yin sign, it is a receptive side, and it's a water sign. So it is receiving. It is receiving that which it is trying to achieve. And that seems a little weird because it's an initiatory cardinal sign, but it's expecting emotional comfort back to it so that it's setting this emotional precedent, like I said. And they know what it's like to feel cared for, and they want that relationship with the world. They want to care for it, and they want it to care for them. It is ruled by the moon. The moon is the utmost maternal, motherly archetype. I mean, life comes from the primordial waters. So this is the baseline rulership of the moon, which directs tides. It is a very centrally, foundationally based sign on the hierarchy of need spectrum. And what's comfortable changes as often as the moon does. That's why Cancer has a reputation for being moody, for being changing. It's relative to the tides. It is consistent in the fact that it is adapting, not in a way of itself adapting, but in its moods and the way that it's feeling. And there's purpose to why it's changing. There's the cardinal initiation to always changing the water flows. It's not like a mutable sign where it is adapting to others necessarily. It is changing based on its own needs. And the crab image is really good for Cancer because the crab moves side to side and it scopes things out. It is not direct. So even though Cancer is initiating, it is scoping things out and waiting for others to let them know that they're safe in what they're doing. So it's circuitous. It's not straight, which is really cute because the crab hides in its shell, and you know, the turtle shell is also a good metaphor for Cancer placements. It rules the chest and the breasts, a very like maternal womb, also very maternal body part. And when you care a lot, you protect a lot. So because Cancer protects so much, that's why it can react very volatile or very moodily to things, because giving a hug is protective, and so can be using crab claws. It puts up armor around what it wants to protect. And this is why the reactivity or the volatility doesn't come from like a chaotic place, but from a protective place of wanting to care for its own home. Leo then is the fixed fire sign of summer. It is holding down the heat of summer, and it is the biggest trademark, the biggest quality indicator of the summertime heat. It is fixed fire. It is the fire energy of yang, of output, of increase, but it is holding firm, and so it's steady in its luminosity. And maintaining a constant fire requires a lot of fuel and a lot of hunger, and that's why Leo can need a lot of outside external support or input from other people and things. It is, if Aries is the match being lit, Leo is the fireplace burning all night long that is really beautiful and holding space. And because it's ruled by the sun, I mean, the sun is literally the center of the solar system. It is required to illuminate anything else. So being the center of attention tends to come hand in hand with Leo placements in general. But it is also the most consistent. So in its grandiosity, it also tends to be consistent for others. Like, it's not just lighting up itself, but it's letting others know that they can light themselves up too. So that there's both a pride and a generosity to Leo. It wants to be recognized for its consistency and for its prowess, but it also wants to recognize others. And there is definitely a regality and a royalty to the sun that it knows about and that it is not generally afraid to show. But there is also with Leo, it can be just as egoic to say it's always the worst and always the best, so that even a lion that is very down in the dumps is the same kind of ego, is always saying that they're the best. It's just a flip side of the same coin. And sometimes they can forget that they are the center of their own solar system, but not necessarily everyone else's in the same way. And it's not a bad thing that Leo operates from the me archetype, because it can remind others that they have a me as well. But there can be a literal inability to see any other way than their own, just because they are so aligned in their own light. And it is a incredibly warm, incredibly holding space sign where they really do light up the room and encourage others around them. But there is always an amount of performance there, and there's always an amount of curation. And Leo rules the heart and the cardiovascular system, which are like the animating forces in a lot of ways of the body, and that which warms the body and lights it up, which it also rules the right eye, like the masculine vision, because it is directing rays of vision and igniting in life. Virgo now is mutable earth. It is the transition from the heat of summer down into autumn. So it is very much a dying out and pruning energy. It is yin because it is an earth sign. It's receptive, and it's a mutable earth sign. So it's adapting to structure. It is making use. It is mutable. It is transitioning from what is not useful to what is. It is digesting and criticizing and weeding down because it's a mutable sign. So it is adaptable, but it's earth. So it is adapting like its route on the grounded path. And it's ruled by Mercury, but instead of yang Mercury of creating a storm of ideas, it is yin Mercury of weeding down and contracting those ideas into what is useful. And there's this reflective analysis and discerning that makes Virgo a very nuanced, very discriminatory sign. The image is the Virgin holding wheat, not because Virgo is like prude or related to sexuality in directly that way, but it's about how a crop that is virgin before it's harvested has to be processed a lot. Like wheat has to be very, I don't know anything about agriculture, but it has to be processed to an extent to be edible. And that's what Virgo does in all areas of life. And that's why it rules the digestive and like mesentery systems, because it's dealing with what needs to be broken down and recontributed and discriminating between what's keeping and what is not worth keeping. And that's why Virgos are great at breaking down components. They are great at like, if you need to hire someone for your SEO or for optimizing anything. They're great editors. They are great writers. And this desire to improve things on a genuine level is very helpful. And it can also be like very critical. It can be overly focused on the details and get lost on being right in the perfection than being usable overall. Definitely can be missing the larger picture. And the self-criticism can be very crippling as well, because that internal monologue never really tones down. But when their input can be channeled into constructive, more applicable terms rather than like personal or like ad hominem nitpicking, it can be a bit more useful. And there can be a paralysis by overanalysis, but the Virgo archetype of this critical, useful thinker is really that autumn energy of moving from the heat of summer into what needs to be kept for the harvest of fall. Second half of the zodiac now, starting with Libra, which is the cardinal air sign. It is marking the beginning of autumn, of fall, of this transition into the darker time of year of winding down. And it is a yang sign because it is an air sign, so it is active. It is initiating the air sign of communication. It is setting an intellectual precedent, and it's initiating social dynamics. So there is a goal in mind with Libra, and the fact that it is an air sign is why sometimes that goal can be a bit indirect or meandering, but it is ruled by Venus, which has a unifying trend of wanting harmony and homeostasis and equilibrium. And with that, that's why Libra can have a great eye for aesthetically pleasing things, because they know how to weigh out different components and things like fashion and design and makeup and architecture. And it can also lead to a passion for social justice and unity and fairness and things like law and legal matters. And that's why the Libran scales resonate, because even though they're not always looking for exact balance, they are weighing things out and discriminating between the different factors. And it rules the hips and the pelvis, which is like the balancing middle ground point of the body. And there's this strong other-oriented energy, because this is the time of year when the sun is setting longer, when the darkness is increasing, and so there's this descent into weighing things out of the dark of other people. It is the fall equinox. Instead of the spring of initiation of the self, it is the fall of the winding down into the other. And that's why debating and relating and conversing with others is so important to Libra energy. It can definitely be the contrarian, so not only can it be the not wanting to ruffle feathers, but it can be the contrarian as well. And they're highly social, so they love to bounce ideas off of others, even if they're just debating for the sake of debating. There's this intellectual curiosity that knows no bounds and wants to investigate and ignite ideas. And that's why there's a lot of emotional intelligence to Libra in like social intuitive settings with that. And that's why there can be some flightiness or some lack of wanting to pick a point of view because they are aware of how that might lead them to conflict or confrontation. But it comes from the place of knowing all too well the different sides can have different perspectives available to them. Moving on to Scorpio, which is the fixed water sign holding down fall. It is a yin sign because it is water, but it is fixed water. It is still waters run deep, the ice cube, the very dense and very strong water energy. It's ruled by Mars, which indicates the strength and extreme determination of the emotional system. And the scorpion is extremely equipped for battle. The scorpion and the crab with Cancer are the only two animals or two images that have exoskeletons. So it is the incisive animal that, or insect, that will not, insect, I think scorpions are insects. No, I'm gonna pass on that one. But it is a sign that is steady and stable unless it is, provoked. It is the still water, fixed water, unless that is ruffled. And then it will, you know, be the iceberg melting all over the place. And it rules like the genitals and the reproductive organs because that is the fixed water, intense part of the body. And whereas Aries is a lot like a machete going wildly through the forest with Mars, Scorpio is the single lethal sniper shot. It is incisive, it's penetrating, and it wants to get to the bottom of things, which can indicate a single-mindedness, but also has an ability to be the best private investigator or bullshit detector ever. And there's this deep awareness of danger and death because it is always in the emotional depths. It is always very aware of feelings and the spectrum of the human experience, which can lead to a fascination with mortality or the occult and the darker subjects. And it's always thinking seven steps ahead, which can lead to over manipulating or playing with other people's emotions, not out of like wanting to be a dictator, but out of knowing and planning and wanting to protect their waters not being ruffled. And there can be with that paranoia overwhelmingly because of the amount of emotional intellectualization. There's this really interesting combination with the amount of Scorpio fierceness at hand. Sagittarius is then the mutable fire sign. It's the transition from fall into the depths of winter. It is moving from the descent into the literal cold, and it is a mutable fire sign. So it's young, it's active, and it is the spread of fire passion. It is like a wildfire. It is all-encompassing, it knows no bounds, and it is ruled by Jupiter, the planet of abundance and growth. And growth can be cancerous. It's not always, you know, the most contained, most precise growth orientation. But overall, Jupiter is inclusive by nature, and Sagittarius wants to include a lot of experiences into its repertoire. It is the archer centaur. It's like this beast. It's half human. It's half, you know, deity, demigod. It is the exploration of myth and expansion and adventure. And there's this animal instinct and human intellect that's present with Sagittarius, which it rules like the legs and the glutes, which are kind of like the mitochondria of the body, the powerhouse that is sturdy and strong. And its mutable fire is the lifting up of the fire particles. It is particles. I don't know fuck science I'm talking about now, but it's the lifting up of spirits, which can be a crusader, it can be a motivational speaker, a zealot, there's a wide spectrum of lifting up spirits, which can be more inspirational or it can be more viral. They're both sides of it. And it can be obnoxious, but there is an inherent expansion to the amount of vigor that they bring to communicating Jupiterian messages, which goes into their quest-like experience of life. They're looking to explore. There's a myth quality, and they tend to also have this mythic aspiration for like bands or celebrities, or they tend to like fan out over people. There's this larger than life quality, which is highly generous. I like to think of the meme that Oprah has that's like, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car for Sagittarius. I think that's funny. But
also it can be like that with things that people don't want, like just sharing a lot of things that aren't necessary. But overall, they are an inspired sign on some sort of experiential collective level. Capricorn is then cardinal earth. It is yin, it's receptive, and it is receiving the suffering of initiating into winter. So it's a receptive sign, but it's a cardinal sign. And along with Cancer being a yin cardinal sign means that it's beginning, but it's treading very carefully and waiting to respond to others' attacks or help. And they need to know and scope out their environment first before proceeding. It's an earth sign. They are practical. They're focused on climbing that mountain. And they are ruled by Saturn. So Saturn as boundaries and limits, I like to describe as top down with Saturn and Capricorn, because I'll explain Saturn and Aquarius as bottom up. But Saturn in Capricorn is condensing down and simplifying, whereas Aquarius is building upon that structure and growing above. So Capricorn is focused on the boundaries, the limits that need to be implemented to ground. And the sea goat image makes sense because it's the goat. It is slow and steady and climbing, but it's the sea goat. There's a mythic quality to Capricorn because Capricorn knows what the plan, what the dream is, but they're going to go practically step by step to get that. And like, I've heard this said before that the great god Pan, like the sex god partier, he was a goat. He was, you know, affiliated with Capricorn, and he was business during the day and an incredible partier at night. So everything they do is all a part of getting to that utmost success, whether that is social success or whether that is financial or worldly. There's a focus on climbing that mountain. With that support that they're always focused on, it makes sense that they rule the bones and in particular the knees, because the knees take a fuck ton of abuse and the bones are literally like the structure holding us together. And Saturn, especially in a yin sign, is saying no to things. That's a necessary part of life, but it's not always one that we would pick as the most desirable. So it is definitively a sign that does discriminate and like say no to things. With conservatism being a theme, not like politically, but being steady and stable in their choices. And building up a massive magnum opus in every endeavor can be tiring, and it can lead Capricorn energy to see everyone as a threat or as something to be used. And there's an awareness of rules, whether or not they follow them. There's an awareness of structures, which makes them extremely dependable, and can also, they're a sign that can go cold very easily in terms of they know how to turn it off and on, which is helpful. Not always the most conducive to emotional situations, but overall is that sign focused on climbing the mountain little by little to actualize the dreams into reality. Aquarius is the fixed air sign, which is kind of contradictory, but is an interesting duality of holding down the most wintertime season, the barrenness and the most light. It's the air sign. So it's light, it's informative, it's communication based, but it is fixed. It is holding firm. And when you fix a lot of air energy together, it can combust and it can create something quite ignitory and catalyzing. And it's yang, so it's active, and it's ruled by Saturn, which is bottom-up boundaries in this case. So it is holding down the structure on which to build upon. It's focused on what came so that it can use that as a foundation for what's better to come. And that's why with Aquarius, there's this thinking outside the box quality, not because they're rebellious. Aquarius is not ruled by Uranus. There's no affiliation with outer planets in my astrology with the signs, but they are always upgrading. They are knowingly stepping outside of the box so that they can build their castle in the sky outside of Earth. They are being a data collector and looking at things. They want to be the nonconformist god. They want to be outside of the box so that they can build a more inclusive structure externally. And the image of the water bearer is them being a deliverer of life energy. Like, they are the all-encompassing, egoless provider that can feel like a weirdo because they're on the outside, but can take pride in that as well because they want to be on the outside looking in. And they're always looking to revolutionize, but they aren't looking to anarchize. They're Saturn ruled, they're grounded, but they are a bit quirkier and a bit more energetic than Capricorn. And this has nothing to do with the Age of Aquarius idea. That idea is really distorted. And if you want a video on like how just distorted and weirdly vague and nonsensical the overall idea is in our culture, let me know. And I'd love to speak on why it's just so loaded. Not in like a way that it's not true, but it's so distorted and doesn't make any cohesive sense. But Aquarius overall is the fixed air, the potency of delivering radical grounded ideas. Pisces, the final sign is yin, mutable water. It is the transition from winter into spring so that things are melting. It is mutable water, the spread of the most porous energy. And being ruled by Jupiter, it is so much about the expansion of scope and point of view. It is rivers joining with the ocean. It is the growth of the emotional connection that we have through earth, through water energy. And it's different than Jupiter and Sag, because Jupiter with Sag is about the excitement of experience. Jupiter with Pisces is more about the feeling of experience, not the facts, but rather the emotional involvement and the spectrum of how that can be experienced on a spiritual level. It's the image of the fish swimming in two opposite directions. So it understands that there is truth in every point of view, and that there can be multiple truths at once that contradict, and that leads to be sometimes overly accepting of others, that they don't hash things out in terms of dishonesty that others might, because they accept multiple truths at once. But with that, there can be great emotional intelligence of seeing others where they're at, and kind of a shitty adulting work ethic, because that's not the way that Pisces on its own, unmitigated by other things in the chart, will roll. It tends to be more on its own schedule of timeless, formless. It's not associated with Neptune, so it's not this transcendent oneness, but it is this connection and exploration of experience. And there's a lot of faith and trust in Pisces, sometimes to a martyring extent, of knowing that you are having faith in something that you shouldn't and expecting the world to catch you or pay you back. And that can be in turn very gullible, or very like, I am so proud of feeling everyone's feelings. Look how great and empathetic I am, when there are ways of that, when that is not a healthy use of ego as well. The ego can be very expansive by how we project it onto others and our duties. But overall, Pisces is a sign that wants to be liberated from anything that holds back its emotional experience. And it wants to fill the void of others with help and with emotional fulfillment for others. And there is a direct connection on, like I said, the emotional experience and how that can be abundantly present in all aspects of life.
Up next, if you would like a video and a podcast episode on the houses, do let me know, because I know that there are a lot of questions about the houses as well. And even though I explain why they mean what they do and the big rationale behind them in my course, I know that beginners want a bit of a snackable content, so to speak. So do let me know down below if you would like, or not down below, but let me know if you want a video on the houses. And also, don't forget to check out my upcoming Manifestation Mysteries of the Moon course. If you're listening to this in September of 2020, it is starting in October. So that is the only time that you'll be able to take it live with me. I'm very excited about diving into this and teaching and learning with you all for this spooky Halloween October season. Great time to educate yourself while we are still in the midst of some crazy astrology, to get some of the basics down so that you can look back and be like, wow, I lived through that. And besides that, I have so many exciting things in the works that are being sorted out, that definitely stay updated with me on Instagram and in my newsletter, because cool things are coming and it's very exciting. And it's even a little scary, because upgrades can be daunting before you take the leap, but you know, I'm gonna do it. I'm not into anything risky in real life, but when it comes to the matrix of the mind, I'll take some risks with what I create. So as always, I'm sending so much love. And as always, if you write a review and either DM or email it to me, I send you my free Astro Basics workbook. So, you know, get on that if you have not already. Talk to you next week. All the love and light to you, which I don't mean unironically, because if anyone like knows, like love is acceptance and light is awareness. So I don't make fun of it, because people that make fun of that just don't understand the metaphysical implications of the statement. It's just like a statement. Okay. Anyway, take care. Satnam.